Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Amazing Seller Podcast. This is episode number 735. My name is Scott Volker, and I'm here to help you build a future-proof business and create your ultimate freedom. That is my goal, but it's up to you to take this information from this show and take action and become the amazing seller of your life. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's dig into today's episode. Today, I'm really excited because I've got a guest that I invited on that has been, well, he's been selling online for years, and he started with really selling domain names. And if you don't know what they are, basically it's a .com or a .net or a .org. And he's seen very, very quickly that people were buying these because they were valuable to someone that wanted that domain name. Then from there, he started seeing that people were buying little websites, and then he was starting to sell those. And then over the years, he started to see that there wasn't really a marketplace out there at the time. He's been doing it a very, very long time. So he's buying and selling, or not even, he's listing, he's not even buying them anymore. He's selling them for other people. The cool thing about this, and I've talked to a lot of different people about this. You've got Joe Valley over at Quiet Light. Those guys over there are phenomenal. I just love digging into what's happening out there from different sources. And let me just say, it's just mind-blowing that there's this many investors out there that are willing to spend anywhere from $10,000 all the way up to $50 million for a business. There's actually someone that's in my inner circle right now, and they actually bought three businesses recently, which is insane. Upwards of $2 million, and I think even as much as the other one might even have been just a hair under $10 million. Don't quote me on that, but a lot of money, okay? But here's the deal. No matter if you have a business right now that you think about, that you're thinking about selling, or if you're thinking about starting one from scratch, I'm actually going to be going through this process to build out a content site that could be turned into a brand. More to come on that later. But really, I just love listening in to people that are in the trenches doing this from all different sources. So I've invited on, his name is Thomas Smale from FE International. That's what their company does. All right. So what he's going to do is he's going to give us another take on building a business to sell, but also I really start to drill into this whole content site stuff because I'm really interested in that. But then also, where is it trending? Is it trending up for FBA businesses? Is it better to diversify? Does it really matter? Like all of these questions I really dig into in this interview. So guys, that's what you're going to take away. You're definitely going to take away some nuggets and just inspiration that Thomas started with selling like a website address. And then from there, that take action moment from my book, The Take Action Effect. You guys probably hear me talk about that a lot now. That one thing led him to selling little mini websites to now where he has a company where he sells other people's businesses, which is pretty incredible. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking now so you can listen to this interview, but really sit down, listen to this, and start taking notes on what you could apply to your business, or at least planning what you can do moving forward. All right, so sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Well, hey, Thomas, what's up? Welcome to the podcast. How you doing, man?
Hey, Scott. Thanks for the mail. I'm really good.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get to talk to you finally. And I know that we have some mutual friends out there. One of them, I believe, is Steve Chu, who speaks highly of you. And, you know, I wanted to get you on the podcast. I've had other guests on that talk about like building, you know, like good assets in a business or even selling businesses in a variety of different arenas. And I always love just getting different perspectives and also just not hearing from one source. I like to like get a whole bunch of sources and then just figure out like what's the common theme, like, and what's the best way to build what I like to call a future-proof brand and business. And so to have you on, that's really what I want to dig into. So I think you have some expertise in that, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, you've been doing it a long time. So give me a little bit of a background on Thomas. Like, how did you even get into this space? And how did your company, you know, even get started? And kind of lead me through your journey a little bit, just so we can get people up to date.
Yeah, sure. So back in 2010, I was at college, like just like any other student, trying to make some extra cash. At the time, I discovered buying and selling domain names, which back then was beginning to become a little bit of an industry. I decided very quickly that I didn't like buying and selling domain names because in my mind, they had no intrinsic value. So I very quickly discovered websites. And from there, I essentially at college, I was buying a website for $100 on my credit card at the beginning of the month. I would find a way to make some extra money with it. I was doing a business degree, so I was somewhat business-minded. Finding a way to make some extra money with a website, and then I was reselling it at the end of the month. And effectively, all I was doing was packaging it in a slightly better way than it had been sold to me. So I was turning $100 into $500, and then like $500 into $1,000. Effectively, continued working my way up. And then from there, I realized that at the time, so now, like you said, you've had people on your podcast who've spoken about selling businesses before. If you go back to 2010, there was no one doing this. There were a couple of like very early stage marketplaces. Most people didn't know they could sell their business. There wasn't really a market. People were definitely not talking about Amazon and FBA. Was not being discussed at all. So this is just straight up websites. From there, I launched a course or a book that I wrote about effectively how to buy and sell websites to make money. From there, people went through the course and I thought I was going to make all of my money and effectively not have to work again through just selling the course. And I thought that's how I'd make money. What happened is people who took the course got through and they said, "Hey, Thomas, I took your course because I own a website and I want to sell it. So I figured I would take your course and it would teach me how to do it." It did teach me how to do it, but I realized that now I know what needs to be done. I don't want to do it myself. So can you just do it for me? At the time, I was, like I said, I was a college student. I was just about to graduate. I didn't have any money. So I couldn't buy a business for $50,000, $100,000. So I figured, why not? I'll just help people sell their existing business. So I started doing that. It worked successfully. The things I applied, the skills I had learned on, say, a $500 deal, I was applying to a $20,000 deal, a $100,000 deal, $500,000 deal, and it worked fine. So from there, the business really snowballed. So that was 2010. Since then, we've really grown through huge amount of word of mouth. It was back in 2010, like I said, no one else established doing what we do now. So the industry really just got created from there. More and more people were coming to us. We were selling more businesses. And then over time, more and more people have come into the industry, whether that's other companies like ours, other people providing services in the industry. So now the industry is much, much bigger than it was before. This year we'll do around 200 deals as a firm. We do a lot in the e-commerce FBA space. We also work on software businesses, content businesses, and a variety of other online-based businesses. So that's like a very brief history of where we were in 2010 and where we are now. But the industry has just really kind of grown a lot in that time and matured. Particularly in the FBA space where, like I said, 2010, it wasn't even a conversation, whereas now lots of activity.
Yeah, I want to dig into a little bit of those earlier days because, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, people kind of just, you know, kind of gloss over that. And I know that you wanted to keep the story kind of short because, you know, who wants to hear about, you know, someone's backstory, right? That's what we always think. But there's a lot of interesting things that I think we can dig in there. I'm just curious. And that's what I like these interviews to be, is just like you and I kind of having this conversation over a cup of coffee. So like you're like thinking to yourself, like, I'm going to take a domain name. Okay. Like just the domain name and then go and sell it. But you gotta think to yourself, like, okay, where did you get the idea? And then number two, where did you even offload it to sell it? And again, I can ask you those same questions as far as like your first website, you get it and then you sell it. You still had to have some type of like connections or some type of skill that allows you to find people that are willing to buy. It's like a real estate, you know, agent. I can find the house, but how do I find the people to buy it? So you got to start building up like a network of people that are, you know, investors or something like that. So how does that all happen? I think people would be interested in even hearing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, the industry has changed a lot. But back then, someone told me that he was buying domain names. I think at the time it was on eBay.
Okay.
The market there these days, I don't even think exists. But back then you could buy domains on eBay. And eventually what it was like, try and pick a good name that was undervalued and sell it for more. So I guess just like buying and selling physical products, except I was doing it with domain names. Very quickly did not like that idea, so transitioned into websites. I had found at the time different forums about the industry. And I think one thing for people like early on, and I mean, I still do this today, is I read absolutely everything I could find related to the industry. It wasn't like suddenly intrinsically knew how to do everything with no background knowledge. No one had like taught me how to do it. I read everything. Back then, podcasts did exist, but they were certainly not as popular. So you were basically stuck with kind of forums and blogs. So that's what I did back then. Mm-hmm. And really that gave me a lot of the fundamentals of how to do things. But mm-hmm. I was literally just buying basically starter websites that were making no money. And then I was finding ways to get them to make a bit. And we're not talking a lot. We're talking it would make $10 in a month. But if you go, I mean, as I'm sure many people listening know, the hardest part is not going from, say, $100,000 to $1 million. It's going from zero to one. Mm-hmm. So getting it to make that first dollar or $10, as it may have been back then, that was the point where suddenly the value shot up, people be willing to pay more. And I was basically just doing that every month. So quite honestly, there was no secret. It's just a lot of reading, a lot of research. There were forums and marketplaces, like private forums and marketplaces. You could go back there or go back then. So that's what I was doing. So I guess not really much different from sourcing products and then selling them somewhere like Amazon. It's just I was doing them with websites. And then obviously now the business is completely different. So we're selling businesses. There's way more moving parts than being able to sell it within a couple of days like you could have done back then.
That's
what I was doing. It was just instead of selling physical products, I was selling digital products.
Right. And so again, we're gonna move into the bigger realm here in a minute. But I'm so curious. Like, so you get a site from zero and you figure out how to get it to make like $10. Two questions on that. Number one, how did you get it to make $10? Did you use like AdSense or was it like some type of affiliate network? Like that's number one. And then number two, what do you sell? What would you buy it for and then sell it for just to get it to make $10? Or would you say, I got to get it to $100 before I'm going to make it for sale? And again, this probably is very similar to what we'll be talking about here soon, as far as how to take something, when is the right time to make and what can you expect? But on a small scale, I'm just curious in those early days, what that process looked like.
Yeah, so I was using affiliate programs.
Okay.
I preferred affiliate programs to advertising because with an affiliate program, if you make a sale, you get paid. So you get paid $10 from one sale.
Right.
Versus ads, your revenue is directly correlated to how much traffic you can generate. Mm-hmm. And seeing as I wasn't an expert at generating traffic, I figured, well, why do that? Because it could take a long time. Whereas with an affiliate program, all you need to do is find someone who wants to buy that product, buy it once, and then you're going to get paid. Right. So I was promoting, I was doing exactly the same. I started out on forums. So I learned everything I know today on forums and I was promoting the businesses I'd buy on forums. Buying something, finding an affiliate program, and then joining appropriate forums. And you can still do this today. I was joining appropriate forums, adding it to my signature, and then just answering questions from people about whatever the business I'd acquired that month was about. Mm. And then when I would sell the site at the end of the month, which I basically had to do because I had a credit card. I was then giving them the forum account. So get a username. It might have, I don't know, 50 posts, mm-hmm. all relevant to that business, begun to have a little bit of an authority, was making sales. So I guess I turned what was something making absolutely nothing into more of a turnkey opportunity for someone to take over. All they had to do was kind of post on the forum, whatever it might be about. Most people at that level, and I think today we're buying businesses that they were interested in. So even though they were super small, you could still buy it, post in whatever forum it happened to be about, and make sales. So it's quite a simple formula. So effectively, it's taking something really simple, making a little bit, packaging it up, selling it at the end of the month as somewhat, I guess, a kind of, like I said, turnkey business opportunity might be a good way to describe it.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I just love going back into those first early stories with anybody because you learned a lot there, but then you've grown. You know what I mean? But you're really kind of doing stuff similar, just on a larger scale, which is interesting.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, as the business grows, just fundamentally from day one, effectively made all of our money and built up all of our following from producing and distributing good content. Mm-hmm. It may well have been forums back then. Now it might be conferences and events and podcasts or whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. But content is has always been at the kind of the very base of what we what we do and what we try and share with people.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, okay, let's talk now, for, the business model that you're in now to help people and really, get people to where they can either identify a business that they have and kind of seeing the value in it. But then also, like, if someone is just starting, so I guess we'll talk to like two different camps here. Like, one is like someone just starting, like, what would you suggest someone if kind of like a runway, like how long and stuff, if they wanted to eventually build something to sell, or also the person that is already up and running, and then what are you looking for? So let's speak to both of those people.
Yeah, it's a good question. So if we start with people starting out, I think the very first thing you need to do when you're starting out, I think a lot of people kind of just forget this, and sometimes their plans get overcomplicated, they get way too far ahead of themselves. The absolute first thing you need to do is actually launch something and make some money.
Yeah.
So many people spend time on all of the other details, but ultimately, if you can launch something and make a dollar, you're ahead of 99% of people who right. will be reading, learning, taking courses, going to conferences. You will never launch anything.
Right.
So at a very fundamental level, you need to launch something that's making money. Then there's a possibility it can be sold. Mm-hmm. If you never make money, never launch anything, there's no point even having this discussion.
Right, right.
Because you're not going to have anything you can sell.
Sure,
so
yeah.
At the very first thing you should do, launch it, make some money. From the possibility of selling a business, the thing to think about is ultimately most businesses are sellable, but my job and companies like mine, our job is to maximize that value for you. So there's very rarely a situation where your business is completely unsellable, but the purpose is to maximize the end value. So, and this applies to people who have established businesses or new businesses or thinking about launching a business.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming you have some traction, the next thing you need to think about is what you're actually trying to achieve. And then from that goal, you can then establish what you're going to need to do to get there. So what I mean by that is talk to your wife, husband, spouse. I would describe them as personal stakeholders, people in your life who are going to be part of the sacrifices you're going to make to build or continue building your business. Because it is a big thing. I've seen it very much like not discussed that much, but it is very important to establish what you are trying to achieve and what you're willing to sacrifice to get there. And do the same with any business partners, investors you have. There's no point having a business partner where one of you wants to make $10 million and one of you is happy making $100,000.
Right.
It doesn't mean necessarily one is right, one is wrong.
Right.
But if you're not on the same page at the start, then one thing I have learned is it gets much, much harder to reverse and change things the longer you've been in business. So the earlier you can figure these things out, the better. So regardless of what stage you're at, figure out what you're trying to achieve. And for most people, that'll be a value-based goal. And it's usually somewhat an arbitrary number. So $1 million, $5 million, $50 million. It doesn't matter what that number is. It's a very personal number. It will depend on you, your circumstances, probably a lot where you live. Like for me, in San Francisco, where I am at the moment, you need significantly more money that go number for a lot of people is going to be much higher here than it may be in some lower cost of living places.
Sure.
So establish what that number is. Some people as well also have a timeline. So it might not necessarily be a value-based goal, but they'll say by 2025 or end of 2020, I want to have sold my business and retired. I want to be able to travel the world or whatever that might be. So establish very early on what you're trying to achieve. And then that really helps the next step, which is what you're going to need to do to get there. Mm-hmm. If you are just starting out, you've just launched a product. Last month, you made $500 in revenue and you have a couple of SKUs. You're thinking about launching some more products and you want to sell your business for $10 million. Quite honestly, you should probably not be listening to me. You should be spending your time learning about marketing, distribution, sales, anything you can do to increase, because your business is a long way away from being worth $10 million. The only way you're going to get there is by growing it substantially. So early on, the things to think about are really, firstly, actually get something launched. Then is the business you're building actually going to be sustainable. It may well be that the first product you launch, and it will probably be the case, the first product you launch is not going to be your best product. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be your long-term bestseller. So can you launch more products like that? Can you launch a better version? Can you keep iterating? Is it just the wrong product entirely, and you can take the lesson you learned from launching it and apply it to a different product or kind of line of products? So do that, get some traction, make sure it's sustainable and you have a way to continuously launch new products. I think one mistake a lot of people make on Amazon particularly is they'll have one product that does really well, or maybe a couple, and then they put all of their eggs in one basket and they just focus on that one product. Amazon is only getting more competitive. And while there is still a huge amount of opportunity for anyone and everyone, and I genuinely believe that, you still have to continuously be iterating, trying to improve, testing new things, trying new things, launching more things. So focus on that when you start out. Launch a lot of products. Make sure you're not just relying on one. Focus primarily on revenue. And obviously profitability as well, particularly if you're funding the business yourself, you do need to make sure what you're doing is profitable. And then if we move on to the, I guess, more established businesses,
yeah,
because everything you learn starting out, you also need to think about what a more established business owner needs to think about for selling. But early on, I truly believe that just traction, focusing on revenue, is the most important thing you can do, and you should effectively ignore all other advice. As you get more established, once you get to the stage where you're making, let's say, $1 million a year in sales, which is a good amount of money, it's very achievable on Amazon in year one, you probably have a couple of products at least doing well. You've probably figured out how to run ads or do something at that stage. So from there, you need to start thinking about all of the risks in your business and how you can mitigate those. So if you're going to have a checklist, that would be effectively come up with a list of all of the things in your business which have a single point of dependency. So that might be, are you just selling on Amazon? If so, that's not necessarily a problem, but are there other platforms you can sell on? Even if they'll only be 10% or 20% of your sales, can you launch there? Can you launch, like we just mentioned, can you launch more products? Are there different colors, different sizes, whatever that might be? Are there easy ways to launch more and make more, even if it's very marginal? Can you sell in different countries? A lot of people we see will just be selling in Amazon in the US, but there are lots of other countries you can sell on. So can you do that? Should you be doing that? Suppliers. Lots of people just have one supplier. And while that may work absolutely fine, if you're going to sell your business, it's always important to have a backup. That doesn't necessarily mean you need to be ordering your products from five different suppliers every month. But at least get to the stage where if you have a problem with one supplier, you can replace them. Because ultimately, from a buyer perspective, what they're really thinking about, if you ignore everything else, is in 5 years' time, is your business still going to exist if they buy it today or tomorrow, whatever that might be? So if the business is not sustainable and you don't have those things in place, a buyer is going to consider the business high risk. So again, much like I said right at the start, it does not mean the business is not sellable.
Right.
But the more of more single points of failure you have, the lower the valuation the business is going to be, effectively. The more products you have, the more countries you're selling in, the more platforms you're selling on, the more suppliers you have, the higher the valuation is going to be, as a general rule of thumb. So think about that next. And then from there, anyone buying a business wants to know, firstly, is it going to be around in 5 years? So we've got past that part. Then they want to know what you've already done and what they can do to improve the business. So it's really important to test things in your business day to day, which many people may do, but then it's also really important to track the results of that, whether it's good or bad. I think a lot of people, I think particularly publicly, they see people who have got a podcast or blogs or courses or events, and all they ever talk about is the successes, which is great, but you also need to track what hasn't worked. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you don't know what hasn't worked, then it's very difficult for a buyer to come in and take over your business and do a good job running it. So have you run paid ads, and maybe the kind of cost of sale is too high? Maybe you could just not make it profitable for five of your SKUs, but one product is profitable for. So having all of that data is super important, because some buyers will come in and say, well, I want to buy your business because I'm an ad expert and I think I can do a better job. But if you've not tracked that data because you don't think it worked for you, you just deleted it, or you just didn't bother tracking it or paying any attention, it's very difficult for someone to make that decision. So something to definitely think about if you own a business and you want to sell it is also, it doesn't really matter what you think or what you think is relevant to you. You need to put yourself in the shoes of a buyer and think about what they care. And buyers, the industry is extremely diverse. In 2019 and beyond, there were lots of buyers coming into this industry with a real wide range of backgrounds. And what those people are looking for is probably not, they probably do not have the same background as you as the business owner. So the things you think are relevant might not necessarily be relevant to them. So everything you do, you need to track, just because you don't think that paid ads are going to work for this business. We hear that all the time. It's not possible to be profitable with this ad campaign. We stopped running ads because it wasn't making any money. We were losing money with ads. There are lots of people out there who might come at it from a completely different angle and have their own approach. So keep that data, and it will make your business a lot more sellable to the right buyer. And ultimately, that's if you hire an M&A firm like us, that's what you're paying us for, is to find you the right buyer who knows what to do with your business to grow it and take it to the next level.
So, yeah, it makes sense, because there's already momentum, of some kind. And so, like you said, even though there might be something that you're like, oh man, we just can't get those ads to work, but maybe it's just because we don't have the right ads person, or maybe we haven't dedicated enough time or enough budget to really test things. But then someone else coming in could see that as an opportunity, not as a failure. So
exactly that. What you may consider a win, someone else may consider a fail. What you may consider a fail, someone else may either see as a win or an opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's the key. It's our job is to position your business in a way where a buyer feels like it is going to continue to be successful for many years into the future. But also there are opportunities that you as a seller have not taken advantage of, that they as a buyer can take advantage of and improve the business. That's what makes it popular. That's what builds a buzz around businesses, and that's what makes them sell. So if you're going to just take one thing away from this whole podcast, is if you own a business, put yourself in the shoes of a buyer. You need to try to take emotions out of the process when it comes to positioning it, what buyers are going to care about, what they're not going to care about. And buyers really care about like results and data. What buyers don't care about is how much time you spent on your business. Things like how much time you spent on a business is something classic that all business owners, particularly if you've launched it from nothing, and you've probably, like me and like many other entrepreneurs, you probably worked 80 hours a week for 10 years.
Right.
But there are lots of other entrepreneurs who've worked 80 hours a week for 10 years. So that does not make you unique. Right. You could do that and be making no money.
Yeah.
That does not make your business sellable.
It's all results.
Results, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it sounds kind of harsh, but I think if you do want to sell, that is really the mindset you need to put yourself in. And I think it's great that there's, I guess, podcasts like yours where people can come and learn about this stuff well in advance of selling. If you're launching a business 10 years ago, there was no content like this to help you position your business. So many people back then, quite honestly, the very first people came to me were like, hey, can this be sold? I had no idea. They had no idea. We were discovering the market. But now, for perspective, now we've done over $500 million in transactions. So we have a huge amount of data of what sells and what doesn't sell. So we know what works and what will sell. So you can start thinking about these things really early, assuming you've got that traction. But super important, take the emotions out, put yourself in the shoes of a buyer. And if you don't know how buyers think, come speak to a company like ours, go speak to someone who's bought a business before and ask what they're thinking about.
So let me ask you this, because I hear you talking about, like, one of the big things is like risk, like thinking about like and poking holes in the business, in a sense, to see where, you know, where you have these openings. And I'm sure an investor is going to be doing that because they're like, hey, if I can poke holes, I'm going to probably get a less evaluation so I can buy for less. And as someone that's going to be selling, you want to make sure that you kind of plug those holes as best that you can, or at least have, you know, I guess a plan on how that is going to be either addressed or whatever. But let me ask you this. So, I mean, I've been talking for the past 2 years about building a brand, not just building a brand that lives on Amazon, because I've seen that shift happening for the longest time now. You know, I say the longest time. I mean, when we started 4.5 years ago, things were a lot different than they are now. And now we have competition coming in every single day to this platform. So me, as a, you know, a business owner as well in e-commerce, and I've done digital, you know, products and memberships and all of that. The one thing that I always try to make sure that people are aware of is that you can't put all your eggs in one basket, and one of them is Amazon. Now, do we want to optimize and do we want to do all that stuff like you're saying? Yes. But how important is it for a business to also think about external assets, meaning their own source of traffic, whether that's their own, they've built a blog that has SEO and they get a 100,000 people to their site every single month. They're also converting that from maybe ads or affiliate offers that are running on that site. So they're diversifying, not just selling their own products, but the traffic that's coming in, building the email list, maybe having a strong presence on Facebook. How important are those, or are they not even important and people just want to buy an Amazon business?
Super important. So I'd say, firstly, there are people out there who are just looking to buy an Amazon business, and there are people out there who absolutely do not want to buy an Amazon business. Mm. So without answering the question, just, you know, skipping ahead, just you need to be very careful of confirmation bias. You could speak to a very small group of people who say, oh, Amazon businesses suck. And then you could have an Amazon business and go, wow, I'm going to completely pivot my business. Mm. Or you could speak to someone who says, we're just investing in Amazon businesses. Amazon is amazing. Let's just do that. And you could just focus on that. I would say, ultimately, what you're talking about is always correct. There's no situation where building a brand is a bad thing. And there's no situation where kind of building your own following, whether that's through SEO, social media, email list building, ideally a combination of the three, mm-hmm. probably the three most common traffic sources we see, maybe paid ads in there as well. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily need to send paid ads to physically buying a product. So that could be send them to a squeeze page or send sure. them to your blog, build an email list from yeah. there. But things like that are super important, because ultimately a buyer wants to know, worst case scenario, what happens if Amazon shut down your listing for a week, mm. which I've seen happen lots of times before for small brands and much larger brands. It mm-hmm. happens. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. If you have your own email list and you have your own blog, then that's fine. It's probably not going to be much of a problem. You can turn it into an opportunity. You can say, well, I don't know, this week it's the website only offer for the product you're selling or the product
Absolutely.
You're selling.
Yeah.
And you can let people know what's going on. So say having your own brand is important. I do think it also depends a little bit on the resources you have available.
Sure.
And how big a team is. Mm-hmm. I would probably not suggest, say, launching on Amazon, 5 different platforms, mm-hmm. plus your own blog.
Yeah, no.
Write
yeah.
your own content, SEO, if it's just you.
Yeah.
As you grow and you start hiring people, definitely do these things, because it may also open opportunities. I know there are a lot of suppliers, for example, who will only work with people at businesses, will only mm-hmm. work with people who have actual offices. And there'll be lots of criteria they may have. So launch your own blog, launch your own brand may open other doors mm-hmm. that are not necessarily just sale related. So I always think that's a good idea, but within, you have to make sure it's actually beneficial for your business. Not mm-hmm. every product you sell will benefit that much from content. Most will, some will do better. I generally think that the more complex and higher end your product is, the more it benefits from content. True. So for example, if you look at my business, we're selling, at the moment, for example, we're selling a business for $35 million. That huge amount of content that goes into finding the right kind of people and educating the right kind of people to buy a business like that. Mm. You can't sell a $35 million business from a Facebook ad.
Right.
It's just impossible. Right. You can't list it on, well, not Amazon. You can't list it on eBay and sell it. It's not how it works. If you have, so I generally say that the higher end product or service you're selling, the more you need content and a blog and a brand. And it's a really good way to differentiate as well. A lot of people wonder on Amazon, how can you differentiate? But if you have your own blog and your own brand, you've been building up and an email list, then you've done it straight away. And a buyer will look at that and say, well, this person's actually focused on building a real business or a real brand. Yeah. You can kind of use that, those terms interchangeably.
Yeah.
And that's generally something quite desirable versus if you just have a couple of products on Amazon that are making money, then your only target market to buy that business is a buyer who just wants an Amazon business, is just looking at the cash flow and just cares about financials. And while that's fundamentally probably the most important part about every deal, there's also that element of personal interest. People want to buy a business, or most people want to buy a business they can show off and tell their friends, family, peers about.
Right.
If there's an actual brand, a social following, let's say it's kind of like a cool following, or the brand seems cool and it's got people interacting on Facebook or Instagram or whatever that might be, saying, hey, this product's great, that's a feel-good business. People want to own and run that business. So I would definitely say it's important, but the business owner cynic in me, and also funded my business myself from day one, I'm very much kind of aware of how limited resources are for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
You also need to measure the ROI, because for some businesses, content will be super effective. Like I said, for others, it will not. But the only way you know that is by tracking and testing.
Yeah.
So if you're tracking and testing,
yeah,
you know the ROI, do it. If you're not tracking or testing, I wouldn't suggest doing anything without having any data behind whether or not it's working. So in general, it's always a good thing. But my caveat is I'm aware how hard it is to build a business yourself with no other money. Sometimes it's not that simple.
Yeah. And I mean, so I even look at it like, you know, some people they're stuck in the beginning phase, in the get started phase, because they don't want to risk $5,000 on a product. Right. So they're stuck. And so I always kind of, you know, recommend, well, find a market that you can start to build content around that will get traffic, and then start monetizing the traffic, and then bolt products on the back end. You know what I mean? So there's ways that you can do it to just get yourself started. If you're already starting and you started with like you said, a handful of products, you got to see if your market lends itself to content. It might not, you know, it might not, you know, have an influencer play, you know, but these are things that I think you kind of have to validate yourself, just even by looking at other businesses that are doing it and seeing what they've done really well, and then see how you can adopt some of those. But like you were saying, to your point, you can't do it all, because then you get, I mean, your time, you know, you can't spread yourself that thin, because then something's going to lack. And nothing will generally grow. And if it does, it'll be at a snail's pace. So we don't want to do that either. I want to wrap up, but I want to go through something here with you. And I've never really asked this question, but I'm going to ask you. If someone's in their head, I think the $1 million is always kind of thrown around there. Like everyone's like, I would just love to cash out at $1 million. And even though we all know, like $1 million after taxes and all that stuff, it's, you know, it's a good chunk of money, but you're not going to retire on $1 million. Like $1 million is only going to go so far, but everyone loves the number $1 million. So if we were going to start from scratch, and you and I were just doing some back of the napkin math type stuff, and my goal was to build something that I could sell for $1 million. What does that look like on paper for me? Not to just have a business that I sold $1 million in revenue, but to actually sell a business that's worth $1 million. What does that look like?
Yeah. So I guess my first caveat is valuation is a very complex subject, and there's a lot that goes into it, a huge amount of data. I guess if we're going to answer the question in terms of what does it look like, firstly, again, just an additional caveat, is you need to consider whether or not is that $1 million post taxes, post M&A fees. So if you pay us, you're paying us 15% on $1 million deal. So you take that into account, you need to take taxes. If your target is just $1 million sales price,
yeah,
then what you need to think about is e-commerce businesses or Amazon businesses at the moment, businesses that we have sold. We do not have data from other people. And one thing I would say is always be careful what data sources you use elsewhere, because sure, depending on the company, they will have different incentives to share data that skews in their favor. In general, at the moment, e-commerce businesses in the last 12 months from our data are selling anywhere in the 2.5 to 4 times net income range. Okay. So that effectively means if you want to sell a business for $1 million, at a minimum, it needs to be netting $250,000. And then it'll probably be need to be netting anywhere between $250,000 and $400,000 to be worth $1 million.
Okay.
There are exceptions, like higher than that, lower than that.
Sure.
But that is a reasonable range to expect.
Mm.
So that's from a financial perspective. From an age perspective, at $1 million level, you really want a business that's at least 2 years old, ideally older than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also super important that business is consistently growing. One of the biggest challenges we see with Amazon businesses specifically is not belittling the success of people, but it is relatively easy to launch a $1 million brand on Amazon within 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
It is significantly harder to then continue that and be sustainable for, say, another 2 years. So a lot of businesses will launch really well, they'll do really well, and then they fizzle out, maybe to a lower level, which is not necessarily a problem, mm-hmm, but continuously growing them is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to sell a business for $1 million or above, it is important you have a business that is growing or at least has ways to continue growing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all about the net. It's not like you can come to us and say, hey, my business is making $250,000 in the last 12 months. Will someone write me $1 million check?
Right.
Because the answer in almost all circumstances is no. Mm-hmm. Those higher multiples, so around that 4 times level, is reasonably uncommon for an Amazon business at that level.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be checking a lot of boxes. If you have a big social media following, you have that brand, you have your blog, maybe on that blog you're selling, I don't know, some other products. It might be affiliate products like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And you are every 3 months you launch a new product, maybe have some recurring revenue in there. That's where you might expect to get that higher multiple.
Gotcha.
If you just have one product on Amazon that made $250,000 net last year, probably not worth $1 million. Probably gonna be difficult to sell. But from a financial perspective, I do think it's important just to think that range, at least have it in mind when it comes to thinking relatively, particularly like I mentioned right at the very start of the podcast, establishing what you would like to achieve.
Mm.
So like you said, for many people, the most common or the median would be $1 million for what people would like to get.
Gotcha.
What you do find as well is once people get to that level, a lot of people then want to go to the next level. They're then like, well, I've got to one, why not go to 2 or 5 or 10 or 50? It kind of, once you've done it, it feels much more achievable to go beyond that. But at a very simple level, 250 to 400,000 would be a reasonable starting point for a baseline of, I want to sell my business for $1 million.
Okay. Shoot. No, that's helpful. And I get, we can't, like, I mean, that's like back of the napkin math right there. It's like, you know, there's so much more that goes into it, but that definitely gives, it gives us an idea anyway. Let me ask you that. I got two more quick questions. I know we were going to go for like 30 minutes, but here we're going a little longer just because I love digging into this. Are you cool? You cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. Got two more scenarios, because one of them I'm actually going to be working on myself as a little project, which I haven't even mentioned, but I'm going to be working on something of just building out a content site. So if I build out a content site and I do it over the course of 18 months, 2 years, and my whole play is to just get traffic, convert it into, like you were doing in the very beginning, which I've done in the beginning as well, way back when, and you're building out affiliate offers, you're doing maybe AdThrive because you're up over 100,000 uniques, and you're bringing in, you know, a decent amount just from a content site. And maybe if the market serves itself well, I could possibly launch 3 to 5 different products possibly on Amazon. But that maybe be down the road. What does that look like for a business that potentially could sell from what you've seen?
Yeah. So I guess firstly, like I mentioned at the beginning as well, we work on a lot of different businesses. We would describe it as a content-based business, something mm-hmm. where right. the traffic primarily is generated because you produce content.
Sure.
Usually a blog, usually has affiliate offers, ad income. Those businesses are extremely popular. Generally, you can get away with those businesses being younger than an Amazon business.
Interesting.
Because there are so many different ways you can grow them. Mm. And also, you do not have that platform dependence that you do on Amazon. Mm. So they're always popular. Lots of different ways you can monetize them as well. Lots of different private affiliate programs. So there's almost always potential to improve what you're getting paid and how you're monetizing your own site. Whereas on Amazon, it's almost zero potential for you to negotiate a better deal with Amazon for fees.
Right.
I don't think I've ever heard that happen.
No.
Maybe it does if you're Nike.
Yeah.
But it does not happen if you're Thomas Smale launching a phone right. case business.
Right.
No, it doesn't happen. So you have very little potential to improve in that sense. Content-based businesses, the multiples when it comes to selling are actually very similar to Amazon-based businesses. The thing I would say is that if you build a blog or a content business, as we would call it, that's 12 months old, there's definitely a market out there with buyers. Because often what you find with, if you're doing things like SEO and content marketing, it does take time to get traction.
Sure.
So if you've had, say, 12 months of traffic, chances are you probably had 6 to 12 months before that where you were making absolutely nothing.
Yep.
Whereas on Amazon, for example, you can launch a product and it's reasonably likely that you will make your first sale within a week
right.
or even within a day or even within hours if you have a way to market. With things like SEO, it takes a lot longer.
Sure.
Even if you are the biggest SEO expert in the world, mm-hmm. you probably not get organic traffic on day one because that's just not how Google works. It takes time. So businesses like that are also super popular. A lot of people, interestingly, will come to us and they will buy a content-based business and then they will use the data from that to launch a physical business.
Yep.
So there is a lot of market for that because you'll say, hey, well, I've got this affiliate blog and we're promoting 50 different products. Product X is selling a lot. What if I launch my own version of Product X on Amazon or my own store or whatever that might be? So that's what a lot of people will do. And then other people, like I said, lots of different buyers out there. Some people will just come out there and they want to increase the business. They'll be saying, well, I'm an SEO expert, I'm going to do that. I'm a social media expert, I'm going to do that.
Mm.
So lots of people looking at it from different perspectives. There's a popular market. You can get away with a younger business if it's content-based.
Okay.
Multiples are very similar to e-commerce. But those businesses are generally also more simple. So they will sell faster.
I was going to ask, do they sell faster?
For perspective, we will generally sell businesses under $100,000 if they are blog-based in a matter of hours.
Wow.
And then recently we closed a $12 million blog.
Oh,
all
wow.
they did was sold Amazon products.
Wow.
So in the 12 million range, call it 10 to wow. 15. They just sold Amazon products, basically just wrote content. That's all they did. A lot of content. That's all they did.
Interesting.
That whole process took about 2.5 months,
wow.
start to finish.
Wow.
Whereas to close an Amazon business of that size in that timeline would be reasonably unlikely because of the number of moving parts. So there are lots of different interesting business models out there. I guess I'm fortunate that I sit in a seat where I see lots of different successful businesses. But if you can build that brand and you can build that following, then you might not necessarily even need to launch your product. You can cut out all the hassle of dealing with suppliers and just be an affiliate.
Yeah.
That's a perfectly viable business as well. I guess it's when you're starting out, the most important thing to learn is really how to generate traffic and sales.
It's huge.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter how you're doing it.
Yep.
That could be, you could learn how to drive traffic to listings on Amazon And then from there, it's probably driven by things like paid traffic and reviews seem to be the two main things you need to do on Amazon.
Yep.
Whereas with your own site, if it's content-based, it's usually volume and quality of content, mm-hmm. and then the number of links you can attract to your site.
Yeah.
Two different things, but it's a fundamental skill that if you're going to be successful, so you and I, Scott, have completely different businesses, mm-hmm. but fundamentally, we both have content at the very beginning of our,
yeah.
our funnel. So that's the important skill to have, regardless of what business you want to have online.
Yeah, it was funny. I was talking to actually my daughter. She's 24. She's married, and her husband's in the Navy, and he's going to be getting out probably in about a year and a half. And that, you know, he's like, I really don't even know, because he's in engineering. So I mean, he's can get a pretty good job. But he's like, I don't know if I want to be committed to like a, you know, 60-hour week job and da da da. And it's like, if I was to do something online, what would you recommend? And I'm like, well, there's a lot of things, but the one thing that will never go away is how to generate traffic and then turn that into sales. Like if you master that, like, you'll never be unemployed ever. You know what I mean? Like,
and I completely agree.
You know,
whether you have a lemonade stand as a kid, yeah,
exactly.
Any business, if you can't get people through the door, yep. and it doesn't matter what you're selling. That's why I think a lot of people, I see this mistake a lot. I go to a lot of e-commerce conferences, like I know you do as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people starting out get way too hung up on kind of design, trademarks, name. Ultimately, yes, it does matter. But mm-hmm. the most important thing is, can you get people to be interested in that product in the first place? Can you drive traffic?
Yeah.
They're the things you need to think about early on. And every single day I've woken up since launching my business, I think about ways to drive new business.
Sure.
I very rarely wake up and say, what do I need to do with our logo today? Or should we change our name? Or should we launch a new product? Should we reposition our business?
Mm.
But every day it's, how do I get more people through the door?
Yeah.
And that never changes.
It never changes. And I've said that, you know, time and time again. It's like, you can have the best product out there. You can be the best photographer out there in a brick and mortar. But if no one knows who you are, how are you going to get business? And so it's all about getting the attention, and traffic is key. And there's all different ways to get traffic. We know that. But there's a few that if you master those, I mean, that's all that you would need. And you can always build off of that. I'm really happy to hear just the content play. And it's funny because there's a girl that I actually, she's going to be speaking at our event coming up. Her name is Alex. She runs one of the second highest trafficked travel blog in the world. And she started as a blogger backpacker, and her site's about 6 years old, maybe seven. And she just recently this year, I mean, she's passed 1 million uniques per month, but she just recently looked at her data, her affiliate reports, and she decided last year to launch her own products off of those reports. So she launched them with zero giveaways, by the way, no discounting. All she did was say, I'm going to be coming out. She almost did like her own little Kickstarter on a Facebook Live. She sold $17,000 pre-sale. And then she has not even used pay-per-click yet. And she's been selling for over a year now, I believe. And she literally is outranking a lot of the brands that have been building just the Amazon side of things, because she has the traffic and she's just driving it there organically. So to your point.
A genuine following as well.
Oh, yeah. So genuine following. She does Facebook Lives. People know who she is. But she's built that over the past, 6 or 7 years. Right.
Yeah. So it takes time.
And she's built a really, really good site that gets a lot of traffic. And to your point, she can throw a little banner up there this week because she wants to offer 20% off for whatever, Labor Day or whatever. Right. And she can do that. And then she'll have eyeballs immediately without even paying for it. So
sounds like a great story.
Yeah, she's awesome. She was actually part of my mastermind. So her and I, we've become really good friends, and she's just brilliant. But she's also a hard worker. And I think that's what a lot of people miss, is they think they're just going to kind of go out there and they see the overnight success, so-called overnight success, pitching like, you know, the Lambros out there, promoting their Lamborghinis, how they got paid from Amazon to buy them. And it's like, we all know that it takes work to build anything real. And if you're building a business like we're talking about to actually sell, you want to build a real business, because you're going to poke holes in that all day long when you're going to evaluate it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, we are going to wrap up. I was going to ask you one more quick question. And this one here, you can do this in probably a minute if you want. If you were not who you are, as far as like the, you know, you have all your knowledge, but you're not like, you're not the guy that's helping people buy and sell. What kind of business are you starting? Like, what are you going to do in hopes to sell it? Is it a physical product business? Is it a content site business? Is it a mix between the two? What would you do?
So I personally, and I think this is important, I think it does very much depend on what you're good at.
Sure.
Like a lot of people come to us and say, it's got to be FBA, it's got to be e-commerce. To me, I like running a service business. I feel like my skills are suited towards running a service business. So I would launch a service business. Traditionally, service businesses are difficult to sell. They're probably one of the hardest business models out there. But that's what I feel I'm good at. You can build a... put it this way, it's better to build a $10 million a year service business than it would be to apply my skills to building a software business and only be able to get it to $10,000 a year because I can't write software. So that's what I would do. I mean, it's what I do now. So I guess I know it's a bit of a boring answer.
I've got used to
services. I feel like for everyone, you should really focus on what you're good at. There's no point launching something because someone else has told you it's the right business model, or a popular business model, or a valuable business model. Do something you're actually going to enjoy. And you can, like you said, the lady you've got speaking at your event has been building a following for 7 years. You can't do that and build a genuine following if you're not actually interested and passionate about what you do.
Absolutely.
So do something you enjoy. And she probably, I'm assuming, didn't really make much money for her first couple of years.
No.
Which is building an audience.
Yep.
And now is probably doing really well from that audience she's built. You need to know what you're good at and be passionate about it. And that will help you get through the early years. And quite honestly, I'd say for most businesses, for me, it was the first 2 years, which I found it's still tough today, but the first 2 years with no money, no experience, no contacts, first 2 years is really, really hard. Mm. Once you get through that, it starts to get a bit easier. You start to not worry about how to pay the rent. You're worrying about how can you make enough to hire some more people.
Yeah.
But for me, it'd be a service business. That's what I have now. That's what I feel like I'm good at. So that's what I do. Well, I would not launch something that I don't know anything about.
Yeah, no. And I love that because like you kind of hit on there, it's like that's your expertise. That's what you enjoy. That's what you're good at. So that's what you're honing in at. And I totally respect that. And I think for anyone out there that's even either getting started or maybe they're in this e-commerce business and then they're like, man, I started this e-commerce, but I don't really want to do that in the future, but I want to sell it. How can I kind of focus on this thing to build it up and sell it? And then maybe you pivot into something else, like a content brand, maybe. The cool thing about this whole process in building businesses is that you're learning every step of the way and the skill sets that you're learning. And you get to also kind of sample and kind of test a little bit and taste what you like and what you don't like. So, I think that's amazing. And I think that's an honest answer. So I appreciate you doing that, Thomas. That's really cool. So how can people learn a little bit more about you and your business and what you guys do to help people, whether it's where they're at right now at the beginning stages or, you know, if they're an established brand that possibly wants to sell?
Yeah. So, I mean, the best thing to do, like I said, we do a lot of content. So the best thing to do, go to our website, feinternational.com. From there, you can navigate to all sorts of different areas. If you want to learn about buying a business, selling a business, we have content. You can go to our blog, follow us. So I would suggest following us on social media. On there, we'll publish like where we are, what we're doing. Sign up to our newsletter and we'll send like a weekly update of what we're doing. If you want to meet us at events, we go to lots of conferences at events. We have offices all over the world, New York, London, San Francisco being our main events. So if you live or happen to be in any of those cities, you can always reach out to us. We love to meet people and chat. And fundamentally, I say whatever stage you are at in your business, don't be afraid to reach out. We want to have a conversation with you as early as possible in your business. So a lot of people feel like they're wasting time if they approach companies like us, even if they're really early stage, because they don't think that we'll be interested in talking to them. But ultimately, like I said, I run a service business because I like running a service business. So always happy to chat regardless of what stage you're at.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I would recommend definitely checking out FE International, and I will link everything up in the show notes as well. But again, Thomas, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate it. And if anyone has any questions, reach out to Thomas. You know, take them up on that offer to just ask questions, because that's what it's all about. So Thomas, once again, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll catch up at one of the upcoming events.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Scott.
All right. Well, I never get sick and tired of just listening to, number one, people's stories and how they get started and how those action steps, those take action moments, as I talk about in my book, The Take Action Effect, it really just leads to the next thing, and you learn and you build the skill sets, and then you just continually, you know, use those skill sets as you continually grow. So I just love that aspect of interviewing people like Thomas. But also, I love hearing, you know, what's happening out there from different sources as far as buying and selling. You know, right now I'm in the process of building out some sites of my own behind the scenes. So this way here, I could have them either as like a rental property, you can look at it that way, where I could collect $1,000 a month or $5,000 a month, or I could potentially sell that, you know, that piece of property, or I can build it into a larger brand and spend 2 to 3 years doing that. So I just love to see how people are doing it, but then also what the investors out there are willing to spend and what they're looking for. It also allows us to build better businesses and really have better fundamentals. And I think just from listening to what Thomas was saying as well, is like building a brand is pretty important, because if you have those pillars, if you have those external sources, or even if you just did a content build, there's a huge market out there for them. So I just always get excited listening to what we can do, and the things that we're doing good, great. The things that we can improve on, well, even better, because that allows us to take something and build on it to make it, you know, even more attractive to an investor when that time comes, if that time comes. So the show notes of this episode can be found at theamazingseller.com/735. You can head over to FE International. Like Thomas said, they have resources over there for you to go through them. And just learn a little bit more about what it takes to build one of these businesses. But then also, maybe you already have a business that's ready for sale, or maybe with just a little bit of some improvements, you can make it even more attractive for a sale. So definitely something that I'll be considering and thinking about, and I'm already doing behind the scenes, and more about that in another episode. So guys, that's it. That's going to wrap up this episode. As always, remember, I'm here for you. I believe in you, and I am rooting for you, but you have to, come on, say it with me, say it loud, say it proud, take action. Have an awesome, amazing day, and I'll see you right back here on the next episode.